Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. About 5,000 more East Germans have streamed into West Germany's embassy in Prague, Czechoslovakia. Some of them, even after Bonn's diplomats, worried about sanitation, had closed the doors to hundreds more would-be refugees. Today, as John Holland tells us, a desperate crowd surged past police.
The latest report is that around 250 people approached the back fence of the West German embassy, which has been cordoned off by barricades and guarded by police. But when police saw the numbers of people coming, they simply let them pass, and they climbed over the back fence into the embassy, adding to the estimated 5,000 East German refugees believed to be in the embassy compound. West German Red Cross officials at this hour are saying that they cannot any longer accommodate new arrivals, but West German embassy sources say they are still coming in and places still being made. In some cases, the embassy employees are giving up their offices in order to shelter refugees.
This is Barry Peterson in Moscow. The Soviet Union lashed out at West Germany today over the flow of East German refugees. In its strongest criticism to date, the communist newspaper Pravda warned that West Germany is threatening European stability by allowing the continuing flow of refugees through its embassies in Prague and Warsaw. The fault in this situation, said Pravda, rests with West Germany for using its embassies in this way. The comments come despite the fact that Soviet Foreign Minister Shevardnadze helped strike the deal that freed the refugees from the embassies over the weekend. The Soviets have maintained a quiet stance of tacit acceptance of the rapid changes in the Warsaw Pact countries. It's unclear if today's attack is just the Kremlin defending its old friend East Germany, or a shift to a more hard-line attitude about unsettling changes unfolding in Eastern Europe. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Moscow.
Soviet President Gorbachev visits East Germany later this week. In Leipzig last night, more than 10,000 East Germans marched chanting Gorby, Gorby, and demanding Soviet-style reforms. It was the largest protest in East Germany since 1953. One more headache for Mikhail Gorbachev after an all-night meeting Soviet lawmakers today rejected as unconstitutional his proposal to ban strikes for 15 months. However, they did propose giving him new powers to break the rail blockade of Armenia. Jonathan Sanders in Moscow says the lawmakers were flexing political muscle.
This was a question of political psychology, and the legislators asserting their own prerogatives to pass their own legislation. Tough measures seem to be just ahead for strikers, but not exactly the measures that Mikhail Gorbachev had proposed.
Kremlin figures strikes in July and August cost the economy over $6 billion. Poland's communists, who've taken a backseat to solidarity, have voted overwhelmingly to transform their party. They'll devise a new program, new rules, even give it a new name. Pakistan and the Soviet Union have reported close to agreement over Afghanistan. A senior Pakistani official said in Bangladesh today that talks continue on the exact language. Senior citizens are angry.
They're taking our money, confiscating it, and taking it from us after we worked so hard, simply because we worked hard and saved.
What she and others are angry about is Medicare's catastrophic illness plan, and today the House of Representatives is on the verge of repealing it, as Rob Armstrong reports.
When the Catastrophic Health Care Act of 1988 was passed, it was hailed as a quantum leap for the nation's elderly. But within a very short time, senior citizens groups were up in arms about the supplemental insurance premium, an escalating surtax many said would eat into their savings or force them from their homes. Members of Congress have been hit with a barrage of hostile criticism, and there is little doubt the surtax will be repealed. What is to happen today in the House is a vote first on repeal of the bulk of the act and then on a measure to retain a few provisions of it, such as catastrophic prescription drug and mammogram coverage. It's a complicated process by which a member could vote for repeal to appease angry constituents and then vote to modify the law. If the second vote is yes, then the first vote is nullified. Supporters of repeal argue the whole act is ill-conceived and not worth saving in any form. Supporters of modification say repeal would leave the oldest and poorest of the nation's elderly more vulnerable than ever. Everybody agrees that the law will be changed. The question is to what degree. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
An outspoken Israeli has drawn a prison term for talking to the wrong people. Betsy Aaron reports.
Israeli peace activist A.B. Nathan was not repentant this morning as he entered a courtroom to be sentenced for the crime of meeting with PLO chairman Yasser Arafat. That's what he did in September of 88, and today he vowed to continue, even from prison, his crusade for peace between Israelis and Palestinians.
I feel a bit saddened that after all these years of involvement in this country, that I have to spend time in prison.
Nathan is the first Israeli to go to jail under the country's anti-terrorism law. He will serve 6 months. 12 months of the sentence were suspended. He could have been put away for 3 years. He's not the only Israeli to have met with Yasser Arafat. Some 100 citizens have, but the Israeli government chose to prosecute A.B. Nathan. He says that in no way will his conviction silence him.
I will continue, even from my prison, to find ways and means to protest against this law and will not stop. And immediately after the prison, I shall continue to speak to the enemy until such time as this law is changed.
Betsy Aaron, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Maynard Jackson, Atlanta's first black mayor, is the overwhelming favorite today to take back his old job in today's election. In Cleveland, 5 candidates are vying to succeed Mayor George Voinovich. Jurors will soon begin deciding the fate of the forgetful televangelist Jim Baker, correspondent Bruce Hall reports.
Attorneys are ready to wrap up the Jim Baker fraud and conspiracy trial. Final arguments will be heard later today, and a case is expected to go to the jury Wednesday. Baker testified that he regretted the huge salaries and bonuses he took from the ministry, but said that was authorized by the PTL Board of Directors. Baker insisted that he told the board not to give him the bonuses, which totaled more than $3 million. Baker said the real conspiracy at PTL took place when Jerry Falwell and his associates took over the ministry for their own selfish gain. However, the current trustee at PTL, Red Benton, testified the collapse of the ministry was caused by Baker.
Unquestionably, it was Baker. Falwell took over a bad situation, and he saw that he couldn't improve it, and I think he decided to leave before it got worse.
If convicted on all 24 counts, Jim Baker could face fines of more than $5 million and 120 years in prison. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Charlotte.
In White House ceremonies now underway, President Bush is welcoming Mexico's President Carlos Salinas de Gortari. In their talks, Salinas will seek trade concessions from the United States in order to restore Mexico's economic health. Workers at Boeing are voting today on what's called a final and best contract offer from the prospering aerospace company. The Seattle-based firm faces a midnight strike deadline for about 50,000 workers, one of whom says the tension here is so thick you can feel it. The dollar is higher in European trading. Gold is little changed in London, and on Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are ahead nearly 10 points at 2723.40, volume 27 million shares. It's 10 past 7.